Hey there, Santonio Banderas's. Tom Takar here to let you know me and Tommy have a live show at Caroline's on Broadway February 8th at 9:30 p.m. with Monroe Martin, Emmy Blotnick, Mary Houlihan, and more. Get tickets at carolines.com, and if you're a real piss freak, check out the Stand By Your Band Patreon. $3 a month gets you bonus episodes of the podcast and more. Patreon.com/standbyyourband. Enjoy the show! The year is 2004. The Boston Red Sox win their first World Series since 1918, finally ending the curse of the Bambino and sending Babe Ruth on his long-awaited journey to heaven. Martha Stewart is sent to prison, and it's a bad thing? And in a Las Vegas suburb, Ryan Ross and Spencer Smith started playing music together in high school and invited along Brent Wilson to play bass, and through Wilson, they were introduced to Brendan Urie. The Mormon foursome started practicing in Spencer's grandma's living room and quickly realized Brennan was the leading man talent. Though they started out doing Blink-182 covers, the band put out some experimental demos, and because they were so different from the death metal groups that dominated the Vegas scene at the time, they quickly got industry attention, signing a recording contract without performing a single live show. Everybody dropped out of school, and when Urie quit high school, his parents kicked him to the proverbial curb, and he was forced to start crashing like Pete Holmes until he could get his own place. Now, completely focused on music, Ryan and Brendan posted a few demos and sent them to the Fall Out Boy pretty boy bassist himself, Pete Wentz, on a whim via LiveJournal. Wentz, who was working on Fall Out Boy's soon-to-be hit album, From Under the Cork Tree, drove to Vegas to see the band and signed them to his new label, Decadence Records, almost immediately. Wentz was all in to promote the band, wearing their merch on stage and bringing them up in interviews to help hype their first album. They went to College Park, Maryland to work on their debut album from June to September of 2005, 12 to 14 hours a day, every day. After getting on each other's nerves for 5.5 weeks straight, the boys came home and learned how to be a band, playing their first live show in the late summer of 05 at the Alley on West Charleston in Vegas. Next, the band would go on the Nintendo Fusion Tour with Fall Out Boy, Motion City Soundtrack, and other bands for the rest of the year. A Fever You Can't Sweat Out was released in late September of 05, and sales were slow to begin, starting at 112 on Billboard's Top 200. The video for their song I Write Sins Not Tragedies skyrocketed the album and went on to win Video of the Year at the 2006 MTV VMAs. With 5 studio albums, a Grammy nomination for Best Album with their newest release, Death of a Bachelor, and over 3.5 million albums sold, today we stand by Panic at the Disco. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians come on to defend music that they enjoy that others shit upon. I'm Tom Takar, of course, your trustworthy host, and I'm joined by my lying host.
The deceitful man.
The Prince of Snarkness, Tommy McNamara.
I saw you call someone else the Prince of Snarkness recently.
Oh, when did you see that?
At an open mic.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Where you belong.
What the hell? Tommy's booked on open mics this week. You can see him at Pine Box tonight.
You saw my poster I put up?
You should do that. That'd be good. All the open mics you're going to be at this week. We are, of course, joined by the king of the zing. That's what I called him last week. Will Miles. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
Hell I'm yeah. Just going to reuse all my nicknames.
King of the zing.
Yeah. Oh, man. You ain't the king if you ain't got that zing.
That's true.
That's a song from the 60s, right?
Yeah.
There we go. Do-wop.
Hell yeah. How you doing,
you
man?
You remember that song? Do-wop.
That's like the 60s song, right? Do-wop.
That's like the end of the era of do-wop is when they just fold and do that for 4 minutes.
That's doo-wop, what I'm here doo-wop. To defend. Do-wop.
You know that Lauryn Hill song, Do-wop, that yeah. thing? What is that thing?
Yeah, what's that thing?
That thing.
Some guys. Oh, I know. Some guys, they only care about that thing. I think it's Bitcoin.
Is it Bitcoin?
Yeah, it's Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Or the new popular version of Bitcoin. I don't remember what
Litecoin or whatever.
Yeah. Zitcoin?
Is it Zitcoin? That's what
it's for teens.
Adam Levine is a happy investor.
I use Proactive. That's my Adam Levine voice.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Dude, I think we should get in on that Bitcoin, dude.
I've been thinking about it.
Yeah, it seems like it's... So it went down, right? It was like going way too fast, and then it went down a little bit. I feel like there's a new one that everybody's talking about. This cryptocurrency, it creeps me out. What's so crypto about it?
I like won't invest in Bitcoin, but I keep spending money on NBA 2K virtual currency, which you can only use in the game.
No, but I think that in a few years that's going to be worth like millions.
It probably will be.
$5 of VC.
It's the same as Bitcoin.
Your player will be a 99 in no time. And then you just got to buy shoes and shit in the game or something. You can buy like hats with the VC. Who's doing that?
I don't know.
Man, imagine being so VC rich, you buying a damn hat. These guys making me big, man.
Right? What kind of hat do they buy? What if they buy Fedora? Yeah, right.
We were listening to an interview with Brendan Urie from Panic of the Disco, and he was talking about how he has like a closet full of fedoras, but he doesn't wear them because he's like embarrassed about the stigma.
He probably wears them around the house, though.
I think he must.
I have things like that where it's like, I'll never wear it. I have actually a fedora that I wear sometimes in the house.
I used to, my old roommate, one of my besties, Josh Murphy, would go through this phase where literally like once every year he'd spend like $60 on a fedora, because in the store he would put it on and be like, I think I can do it this year. Yep. And then he would get it home and immediately be like, fuck me, I can't do it. So he probably spent like $300 on fedoras that he never wore. And then I found out, this is somewhat troubling for my dear friend Josh, he would go to this one bar near our apartment that none of us knew about, and he would wear the fedora.
Of course he would.
He like had a different life there.
That's his secret family.
He made up a name and like a backstory.
Hey, Randall, what are you doing here again?
The name's Dora.
Dora Explora.
Oh, that's so
I got
good.
A pretty high fashion sweatshirt, short sweatshirt that I wear too. But
oh
only,
shit!
What do you mean by short sweatshirt?
It's like it's got like
it's a crop top.
It's a crop top. It's short sleeve.
Oh,
and
okay.
It, like the sides are opened up, and I wore them once to like a dinner party thing at Michelle Buteau's.
Yeah.
And I got some compliments, but I still don't have the confidence to wear it.
It's weird.
Late night hours. Stuff
like that. Do you have anything like that, Tommy, that you don't have the confidence to wear?
I have stuff that, like, I have a shirt that I'll wear, like, as a joke, but it's like, I really wish I could just wear this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'll spend the whole night being like, isn't it funny that I'm wearing this shirt?
And if one person was like, what are you talking about? You'd be like, thank you.
I needed this.
I have a couple things like this. One, I used to have a Tupac jersey that was, it said Machiavelli on the back, and it was like number 71. It was so fucking sick. I had it in high school, and I wore it like twice, and I was like, I can't pull this off. Yeah. And now I wish I had it back so bad. But the other thing is, Nikki gave me like her. She was dating someone who the shirt didn't fit them. It's like a $150 T-shirt, and I was like, fuck. She gave it to me, but it's see through. Like,
oh, you have to wear it.
You have to wear it out. Wear it to a show.
I also don't know that it fits me anymore. But this is when I was a little skinnier.
You got to wear it to a show and not comment on it at all.
The thing is, like, I feel like it's the type of shirt a dude in Miami would wear. You know?
Yeah.
Because then it's like, right now it doesn't make any sense to wear it. It's cold, man.
Yeah. The confidence to wear a see through shirt. This is insane.
Like, I've never seen a dude wear a see-through shirt and been like, that's sick.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that working out. But women wear it? Hell yeah.
That's that shit I like.
That's that shit I do like.
I always want to wear glasses, but I don't need them.
You should wear the wear the ones without the lenses.
Well, that's what Mateo used to do, but he's like, confident.
And, yeah, he's a hot dude.
Yeah, he's a hot guy. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
always Works this out. Thing with like super hot dudes where they can literally wear anything, and then GQ tries to tell us that's the new thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No, it doesn't matter what they do. They're hot.
Yeah.
Hot ass dude.
That's what Scarf. Russell Westbrook is trying to prove. Like, yeah. You can wear literally anything.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like Pharrell did that. Like a lot of, I mean,
Pharrell
he's not
confused
as
my whole life. I still live up to his standards. And I'm like, I look ridiculous every day.
Will is wearing a 10-gallon hat. For those of you who can't see him right now.
Constantly. I bought all of his shoes, and I wear them all the time.
What kind of shoes are they?
Adidas. They're like, he has his own line of Adidas shoes.
Man, I saw these Wrigley Field Adidas the other day that I was like, I want to get them. But they're just like, the shape of them I don't love. There's like something about them that I'm not super into. But man, I still am probably going to get them. When my ticket comes in.
You keep saying that.
I do see a pair of Adidas that I saw you talk about in Boise.
Yeah, dude.
And you bought them, and then you wore them on Conan.
I did.
I saw it when I was watching Conan. I'm like, oh, shit, he bought those shoes.
Thims was my Conan shoes.
Tom was the first guy to ever get robbed for his sneakers on TV like during his stuff.
Give me them shits.
Yeah, no. Andy, don't hang them on a camera wire.
I love those shoes, man.
They're
great
shoes.
They got a little tear in them. I wore them to a wedding, and I was like, it was that
what
thing.
What a beautiful wedding.
What a beautiful wedding.
Mike Christine pointed out, said a bridesmaid to a waiter, and they're at a church. So it's like, why is there a waiter there?
I know.
And I thought more about it, and I was like, why is the bridesmaid gossiping with the waiter about the, like, what the hell?
But.
And also, why would the waiter say to a bridesmaid, who's one of the, I would assume one of the bride's friends, the bride is a whore.
Look,
right?
These guys were on drugs, all right?
I don't know.
They were Mormon as hell.
Yeah, they were Mormon, but they were on drugs.
That's fair.
And that's All Right Sins. That's the first album. They might not have been, they probably were starting to experiment.
They might have been,
They wrote pretty out on mushrooms.
It was their friend who is a waiter.
Oh, that could be.
Oh, that's good.
And Brendan Urie kind of hates him, so he just calls him the waiter.
Oh, that's
even
that's
though
cold.
You know he's
what
a
if it was,
he
doesn't
guy.
Say what if it was Dion Waiters?
He's on his own
to be at the wedding.
He definitely never says the bridesmaid to a waiter who is carrying around hors d'oeuvres. I had never been caught up by that until Racine pointed it out, but now I'm very distraught about it.
I know.
Distraught.
Yes.
Yeah, Tom looks very bad.
Groom's bride is a whore. Also, it's such a harsh way to say it.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
And
I don't
the groom's
like whore
bride,
shaming.
Like, you could just
groom's
say bride.
Is very weird. Right?
Yeah, she's just the bride. Yeah. Well, I think rhythmically he had to say that.
Let's listen to it now since we're talking about it.
Yeah,
I like this. I love the song.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love this whole album.
Yeah.
But...
I remember when this came on MTV, I was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
I said it just like that, too. What the fuck? As I'm pacing the pews in a church corridor, and I can't help but to hear. No, I can't help but to hear in exchanging of words. What a beautiful wedding. What a beautiful wedding. Says a bridesmaid to a waiter. But what a shame. What a shame. The poor groom's bride is a whore. I chime in with a haven't you people ever heard of closing a goddamn door. No, it's much better to face these kinds of things with a sense of voice and rationality. I chime in.
I think they were in the bathroom?
Because he...
He says closing the goddamn door. Yeah, what? I've always...
He chimed in, too. I chimed in.
He did chime in.
Also, great lyric. Nobody has ever written, I chimed in.
That's true.
in a song before.
Tommy, chime in. What the fuck?
Oh, what was that? Well, I'll look at it this way. I mean, technically, our marriage is saved. Well, this calls for a toast. So pour the champagne. Avocado toast, but champagne toast?
Hold for a minute.
Joke objection. No, that was fine. There's a lot of problems I have with the setup of this song, but it is fun.
It's like, so fun.
I've always wondered, what door is he wanting them to close? Are they in the bathroom? And in that case, is this waiter a woman?
It's like the old joke. the old riddle. The doctor was a woman. That was a joke, right?
Yeah, woman doctor. Women are nurses, men are doctors. We all know it. I said that to my cousin when I was little, and everybody got mad at me.
I really
thought that was true. Goddamn patriarchy.
Donate to our patriarchy. Ever heard of. So he didn't have a problem with the waiter, not even a member of the wedding party, calling the bride a whore.
All I know is if that waiter calls my wife a whore to one of her friends, I'm not tipping. I don't care if it is my year of generosity.
It's not your year of generosity. It's my year of generosity.
Saying if this year in question, this could have been my year. It's Tommy's year of generosity.
Hey, Tommy. Is this a Chinese New Year thing? Or?
Yes.
Last year was Tommy's year of tiger.
Well, my wife was chasing me with a golf iron. I wish I said that quicker.
It was a good joke, though. Can we re-edit that so we can say it?
I was trying to remember if she was chasing him with a golf cart.
A golf club.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
She beat up his car with a golf club.
Yeah.
I
Damn.
Elin Norgren.
Yeah.
One of the highest paid divorces in the...
Wasn't it like...
It's like 150 million or something.
Wow.
Damn. Or more, something like that.
Someone should have chimed in for
her. Chime in. Your husband is a whore.
Haven't you ever heard of bogeying on par four?
Oh, shit. Damn.
Haven't you ever heard of protesting for Darfur?
Not related, but it's fun.
Jersey Tupac Shakur. We do this all day.
Yeah. We sure can.
Yes. I remember the video. I think they're in a stately manor, right?
Yes.
It's a wedding.
I forgot about that.
So
yeah,
it has like both a chapel
wedding.
And
yeah.
rooms.
Yeah.
Sure. Which
kind
of solves the,
mm-hmm.
the
okay,
problem with
right.
the poo.
maybe that's how Mormon weddings are, and we just don't know. Or
that's true. Yeah.
Oh, good point.
A Mormon wedding.
But they
wrote it thinking everybody knew what Mormon weddings were like.
I've never been to a wedding with a bunch of little rooms. I don't know. I've been part of a bridal party, but I've never seen all these little tiny rooms.
Gotta go to those Grand Budapest hotels.
Exactly.
And every wedding I'm a part of, I demand to sleep with the bride right before.
Prima nocta.
Yeah, of course. Right before the wedding, I demand it.
I demand, sir.
Yeah, I'll be your groomsman. But you gotta let me in them draws. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the last time
I'm at
a hamburger's wedding.
That's one of our many half Indian traditions. You guys wouldn't understand.
White guilt will win. I guess it's a tradition. I don't know. You have to do this, honey.
Oh man. By the way, we're talking about Tommy's year of generosity.
Yeah.
Did you come up with any fun New Year's resolutions there, Will?
I did not.
Nice.
I guess it's just, I just want good in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
That's good.
It's interesting. 2018, it's just a calendar year, man.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Although it is the year of the pig.
That's true.
It's not the year of the pig.
According
but
to Harvey Weinstein,
I'm the year
of the pig.
Oh, that was 2017.
Damn,
right? That's every year of his life. Oh,
yeah.
How are we doing?
Every year pre-2018 is the year of the pig, as far as I'm concerned. We got to bring Louis C.K. on here and ask him about that.
Yeah.
What's with the year?
Do you ever think
pig?
About that? I always think, like, if I saw these people, would I ask them questions or would I just be like, hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah, it's funny how you think you're going to like... I mean, that's the thing with John Oliver that was cool when he confronted somebody. But I feel like this is not... This is somewhat related because it's something that I wish I had done in retrospect. I ran into Spike Lee when I first moved here. And in retrospect, I was like, fuck, I wish I had done the choke symbol at him and grabbed my nuts like Reggie did.
Yeah. That would have been good.
I fucked up.
You would have stood up for Indiana at that moment.
I would have felt good about it. That's something I could tweet that at Reggie Miller.
That would have been the day you became president.
I really wish I had done that. But I don't know. I feel like if I saw Harvey Weinstein, I'd say, hey, look here, Buster.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Fuck you.
I'm going to tell you a couple things, buddy.
I don't know like what he looks like. Enough. Like I've seen pictures of him, but I don't think I'd recognize him in the wild.
The only reason I even kind of know who he is because somebody played him on Entourage. and I'm a huge Entourage fan.
Who played him?
I forget the guy's name, but his name was like Harvey something.
It was
something.
Like Megan Fox. Yeah. Just everyone in Entourage is played by a super hot woman. And this guy's supposed to be a Guillermo del Toro. And it's like...
Yeah, they let Tom Brady play. Yeah. Yeah, people are hot as hell in there.
People are hot as hell in Entourage. Damn. But the guy was like a nutcase, and they would always be like, we're scared of Harvey. Mm. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then it was. It was really based on Harvey Weinstein. I was
like,
oh, shit.
The way Jeremy Piven is playing our mayor's brother.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Seriously, yeah. Well, I knew that initially because I was like, oh, that's why he's such a fucking dick.
I didn't realize that that's what it was based on.
Ari Emanuel, yeah.
I did not realize
who
that.
Was Mark Wahlberg's guy, right, or something like that?
Oh, was he? Yeah,
I think, because it's Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Oh,
and, like, Tobey Maguire.
This bin.
Tobey Maguire was just in Molly's Game. There's a character based on Tobey Maguire.
I thought that was Tobey Maguire. Zane. All right.
Yeah.
Damn, like I was trying to figure it out. Yeah. I was like, is that Ben Affleck or Tobey Maguire?
My mind's getting blown here. Yeah.
So like, apparently Tobey Maguire was like a big high-stakes poker asshole.
Really?
Like in secret games. Yeah, that they
Man,
talk
is
about
there ever a dude who's obsessed with poker who's like cool?
Right, that's true.
It always sucks.
Yeah. The Joker.
Yeah, he was cool. I forgot about that.
Damn, that just changed. That just blew my mind a little
bit.
Isn't
that crazy?
I just watched Molly's Game 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Pretty good.
It's good. Yeah, I liked it. It was a good story.
I gotta see this.
Michael Cera was such an asshole in it.
Damn. I love that.
He plays
love
a good
Bill
asshole.
Camp.
Yeah.
Huh? What's that?
I like Bill Camp, the guy who like went on the run. You know what I'm talking about? He's kind of a bald, like a fatter bald dude.
Oh, yeah. That was
a great
sad.
Actor.
Yeah.
All right. This has been
no spoilers.
Talk.
No.
And, let's talk a little about Panic at the Disco. First of all, your history with them.
History
when did you get
with
into, when did you get into Panic?
I got in a panic. What was it? Something. I know I was working
like
at a school.
Maybe. 2005 is when that album came out. I'm pretty sure that first one.
Was it 2005?
Yeah. Fever You Can't Sweat Out.
A Fever You Can't Sweat Out was 2005.
Okay.
And it took a little time for it to pick up steam because it was when that single came out. It was when this song came out, really, that changed the game. Because they won the
when
won
did
like
that
a VMA.
Song come out?
I believe that was also. I think that was later in. I think it was like
VMA was the Violated Marriage Award.
that's true. That is actually
you were
true.
A shoo-in for that.
For me, the video was definitely first.
Yeah,
because my what
I just thought of another song that could fit.
Yeah,
it was Confessions, but
Usher
Confessions came in second. That was like right around the same time too.
It's a big what year.
A Usher Confessions album. Was early 2005.
Yeah.
Because I was still in college.
Oh, damn. Yeah, I remember that might have been even 2004.
Yeah, I want to say it's 2004.
I was like, I think I was like 16.
Because I was happy in college.
I was pushing carts at a Kroger at a grocery store, listening to Confessions like, yeah, I relate to Usher.
I was out of college when Panic came out, for sure. Because I went to a black college.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
Nobody was playing. Nobody was playing Panic in the hallways at school. It's like, oh, yeah, what is this? Oh, I ride soon. Oh, cool. Yeah. You guys going to fucking, I don't know. I can't think of anything from college right now for some reason. That's how high I was. But,
damn. This is a straight edge podcast.
Yeah. Shit. My bad, everybody.
Let's see.
But,
here.
Yeah,
so,
I remember my friend Adam put me onto the song because he put the video on and I was like, what is this? These guys are nuts. And he knew I liked weird shit.
Yeah.
I was like, these guys are kind of fucking weird, man. I like this. And then I played that song over and over. I downloaded it on Audio Galaxy and put it on
Audio
a
Galaxy.
CD.
Yeah, which what was Audio Galaxy?
Audio Galaxy?
That was like Kazaa?
Yeah, it was like Kazaa.
Okay. I was a LimeWire guy.
LimeWire was great.
LimeWire was great. All of them like had a moment of being great, and then they got shitty. Like I just remember like trying to find a song and then clicking on one, and it was just hardcore porn.
Yeah, I know that would always happen.
And that's how I learned what sex was.
That was your sex ed.
Yeah, that's the millennial sex talk.
I had the opposite experience. I would search for porn and then I would click on it. And be like, oh, I joined it.
God damn it, quit pushing your agenda.
That's how we should try to get people to find this podcast. Like, make the link, like, lady gets railed. Oh, shit.
There's a buzzer. That's,
lady gets railed,
lady gets
a buzzer.
Railed. What was our phrase of the day?
I guess the lady's getting railed. No.
Oh, did we lock it? Hold on a sec. Damn. Pause
for the call.
Someone said some gay shit.
All right, we're back. The PC police showed up when I was talking about us. Right. Oh yeah. Wait. What's that? Oh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't you say lady getting railed?
Oh, that
doesn't work.
It doesn't work that way. I knew that when I pressed it.
We should have someone go outside.
We were trying to make the buzzer go off again.
We need an outside player.
I don't know why we thought that would work.
I'm like, have you guys ever used one of these before?
We know that when we click this thing, it doesn't make a buzzing sound. God damn, Tommy, you making us look foolish.
What kind of house would that be that there's a button you press? Oh. Somebody at the door. Wait.
You know what kind of house? Well, a house that's pretty odd.
Oh,
damn.
Things are getting pretty odd.
So, did you get made fun of for liking painting, or did you keep it on the? Did you keep it down low?
Well, I moved to Chicago at that point, and I was living in Lincoln Park, so I was around mostly white people.
In the end, we'll all live in Lincoln Park.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's him. In the end, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
But people, it was, I mean, yeah, people still, I still visited my friends. So,
yeah.
So I'd be like, oh, you guys heard this I Write Sins, Not Tragedies? What the fuck are you talking about? I mean, they're a weird band. They're for sure weird, and he's, you know, not everybody's woke.
Yeah.
Some gender fluid guy singing, and they're going to be like, what the fuck is this? I don't want to hear it at all.
Yeah, your friends were part of the Westboro Baptist Church that came and protested. This is bullshit.
Fuck this.
So this was one of my favorite stories we saw, is that Westboro Baptist Church was going to protest one of their shows.
Panic at the Disco?
Yeah, so they let out a statement like, we will pay $20 to a gay charity for every protester that shows up.
Nice.
I read that, I was just like, $20?
For how much money they make, like they're a very popular band.
So then 13 people showed up.
So $260.
Yeah.
So then they tweet out like, oh wait, I'll find what they said. But yeah. It's super funny.
That's so good. Me and you should do that.
Yeah.
We should, we'll give $20 for everybody who shows up to our show at Caroline's. Yeah, that is such a low amount. Because I was reading this before, their album that came out in 2016 hit number one on Billboard.
Are you serious? Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's crazy.
Death of a Bachelor? Yeah.
Death of a Bachelor. It hit number one.
It's got a new sound.
This. Yeah. A lot of controversy about this that album. Because, I mean, it got shit all over by whatever article I was reading here.
Probably Pitchfork or something.
It was Pitchfork. We'll not talk about that.
Yeah.
So the Busboro Baptist Church tweeted, after they said they were going to raise $20 for each person, they said, we had 13 picketers, but if we're being technical, you must count myriads of angels.
Wow. So they need to figure out how much they owe now.
Yeah, please give us a number of angels.
Talk to God. And then
there were at least 33 angels. I do know that Train called all angels to be a part of it. Man, what a great band.
Train?
Somebody needs to defend Train on this
Nobody's
show.
Nobody's defended Train.
Nobody's ever defended them.
Someone needs to either defend or run Train on this show.
Yeah.
I tried to buzz.
Where's that goddamn buzzer? Train is at least 60 years old.
Right? Well, we got to have Anthony DeVito come on.
Does he like Train?
He has a classic bit about
them,
Train.
Right? Yeah.
Oh,
no,
shit.
They love him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, they love.
We should talk.
He
about
hung
that.
Out
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Me. Okay.
All right. Yeah. All right. Before I forget, we should talk about Jared Thompson's voicemail that he left for the pod. All right. We should listen to it. I should say before we talk about it, we should probably hear it.
I need to know.
So Jared Thompson is our friend and foe from the beautiful land of Bloomington, Indiana. He's the owner of the Comedy Attic / co-founder of Limestone Comedy Festival. Taking submissions now.
I met him in Boise.
Get in there. What's that?
I met him in
Boise. Oh, yeah. You met him in Boise. Yeah. Good man.
Now they're taking subs, but I'm a dom.
Oh, God.
You can't apply to be a sub.
You just are a sub, right?
Yeah, it'd be weird to apply to be a sub. All right, so this is Jared's thoughts on the band Panic!
Really?
At the Disco. I'm just making sure the volume's up first. Oh, shit.
Jared, the boys are going to have Will Miles on defending Panic at the Disco. I'm going to keep it brief because I know literally nothing about this band. I listened to them just now. People on the Facebook comments mentioned that maybe the first album was better or different or whatever. So I listened to mostly stuff from the first album. I mean, it's exactly what you would expect. Like, my stereotype about this band definitely was that they seem like that they exist only within the walls of a Hot Topic. And that stereotype was further, and also that they appeal to children, which I know is like a recurring theme on this podcast, that like a lot of times, you know, Justin Bieber or whatever, like it's for kids. It's for little kids, Pink. It's not for adults or like people who like live on their own or whatever. It's for people that live with their parents, even if they're, you know, in their 20s or whatever. So that stereotype was furthered when my niece and nephew came here for Christmas, and my niece, who's like 9, bought a Panic at the Disco water bottle at Hot Topic, and that's her favorite band. So pretty cut and dry. It sucks. I'm sorry. I will talk to you guys later. Thanks.
Love you, J-Bear. But sometimes you're just like a pill.
I will say,
Pink like that.
I think Jared would actually like Pretty Odd.
Exactly.
Like,
I mean, we'll find out if you, Jared, skip to the songs. I know you listen to your part and then what we say after, and then skip the rest of it.
I don't think he would like it. I think he would like it way better.
Yeah,
then he would like the Fever That You Can't Sweat Out.
I will say, sure. The Fever You Can't Sweat Out, the only song I listened to on that album was I Write Sins Not Tragedies. And then when Nine in the Afternoon video came out, it was either that one or the Things Have Changed, which has a different, the Green
that
Gentleman.
That Green Gentleman.
Yeah.
What a weird song.
I can't remember which.
Sounds like our president.
Oh, shit.
No, he's orange.
Yeah. Those were the ones I was like, oh, shit. This is even doper than I Write Sins, Not Tragedies.
So that was like, this was a shock to me.
Really?
To me and the rest of the community.
Yeah. You in the Panic community?
When I was in high school, I loved the first album. And then I remember seeing the video for 9 in the Afternoon and be like, what the fuck is this?
I was into it. By that point, I was experimenting with mushrooms too.
But then, like, just to prepare for this podcast, listening to both those albums, I like Pretty Odd better.
Right?
Yeah. When we listened to it, because I was, I mean, we'll talk in depth about this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was a Fall Out Boy guy, and I know that there's a lot of crossover between the two, but also, I was just like, I have my band that's like this. Like, I have one.
Yeah.
So I listened to that first album like 10 times in a row, trying
when
to
it get first
into
came out.
It. Yeah. And I was just like, it just didn't latch onto me. I think a lot of it is, there's something about the theater kid version, like, thing about it that I'm not super into.
But Tom is in the Westboro Baptist Church.
Of course, I knew that. Yeah, I figured that.
I'm trying to get my 20 bones. We get the $20, right?
That's how it works.
I will donate $20 to the Baptist for every. So I was like, this is fine. But we listened to a little bit of the first album and some of the second album and the songs you gave us, obviously.
Yeah.
I was feeling the second album more.
I know. The second album was much better.
Yeah.
Well, I was an adult when I listened to him, so he might maybe has a
That's
point.
That's interesting, Jared. Think about that. It's
I Write
for
Sins,
little babies.
I was an adult too, but it was like, maybe it was like, I was living at my parents' house, I think, the first 6 months confirming or something when I moved back home. So I was like, yeah, this is good. The video came on.
Yeah.
So this is pretty good. And but then when I moved out and the second album came out, I was already living with my roommate, who was the same guy who put me on him in the first place. And he, that Nine in the Afternoon video, man, we were high as shit.
Let's listen to Nine in the Afternoon. I liked the song. This was the first song that Tommy put on that I was like, oh shit, I actually enjoy that. Because I don't, I didn't expect to like it.
Size of the moon, you could the way that we do, well, it's not in the afternoon.
Nice.
I mean, that's proof that they were on shrooms.
Well, that's one of the song facts on Spotify. Yeah. Is a quote from Brendan Urie saying, "We were really high on mushrooms." So this has like the best song facts. So they had spent the previous 2 months struggling with writer's block in an isolated cabin. It took them 2 months to come up with Nine in the Afternoon.
That's so funny. It's so funny because that's how Bon Iver wrote did his. It was like an isolated cabin. It's
really?
So funny that you lock yourself in a cabin for 2 months and come out with such different things.
So then the other one, yeah, Spencer was like, "I don't know what time it is, but it feels like nine in the afternoon." And we just thought that was hilarious.
Honestly, he ain't lying.
Yeah, right? It is pretty funny.
This is the best one. He goes, "That line, your eyes are the size of the moon." Everybody was staring at each other just like, "Are you okay, man?"
Nice.
Oh, boy.
I've been there. I relate to all those facts about
actually
that song.
An intervention for you, Will.
You're doing mushrooms way too much, buddy.
So this was, if you listen to this album, it's clear, obviously, it was their Beatles album. They were trying to make a Beatles album.
Yes.
That's like when the Beatles were on drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only Beatles I liked, by the way. I know that's controversial.
Really?
But the only song I actually really enjoy is the doom, doom, doo, 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 that one.
Yeah, Come Together?
Yeah, wow. Come Together. I don't like Beatles.
Like
that's the only
together.
Beatles song
yeah, I don't really
so
like the Beatles.
Insane.
I know.
I'll tell you this. I also have the controversial opinion of, like, I never listened to the Beatles.
Yeah, never.
I get why they were great.
Me too.
I just don't. I'm not interested anymore. I've heard them so much. Like, you know how they're just a band that you hear all the fucking time. And, like, at some point, it's just background noise. I know that they have a deeper catalog than what you hear all
of course.
The time. But, yeah.
And
I mean,
there were
I'll
so many
admit,
less
I love,
bands
like,
back
Hey
then.
Jude and stuff like that. And, like,
oh, Hey Jude's pretty good, yeah.
There's some fun ones. But our dear friend of the podcast Jonas Schroedt, had a joke where he's like, "Aren't we done? Aren't we done with the Beatles? This year it's over, but it won't be."
I do like, though, if you read the interviews with them around this time, like, it really seems like they had just heard about the Beatles in between album one and album two.
That's so funny.
Like, there's this quote that I have where it's like, oh shit, it's like, "What I loved about the Beatles when I started listening more and more was that they wrote so many different types of songs."
Dude, that is so
funny.
You're such
an idiot.
Yeah.
And then there's another quote where they're like, "People kept comparing us to Fall Out Boy, and I think we should be compared to the Beatles."
Oh, wow.
It's like, oh, no.
Not the band you're on the label with.
Yeah,
yes.
Part of why I heard
you.
Of you at all. Yeah.
Well, like, that's the whole thing is Pete Wentz, they sent it like their 2 or 3 song demo or whatever to Fall Out Boy, or they did it over Live Journal. They like sent it to their Live Journal page.
Back in the
and
day.
Pete Wentz heard it and was he was in LA at the time and he drove to Vegas to hear them and he listened to them like play 3 songs and he was like, "You're signed to, I want to."
That's
sign
amazing.
You to buy
it. Funny if he drove to Vegas then it like went to a slot machine and then totally like he just lost track of time and missed the show.
Oh shit! Yeah.
All right, well, I'll sign you guys anyway.
My bad.
Yeah. I was supposed to see this Blink-182 cover band. That's how they started. They were doing cover band shit.
Oh no!
I thought this was interesting. We were talking about it earlier because they're from Vegas.
Yeah, which
they're
is
like
weird.
These Mormon boys.
Yeah,
they were in like 9th grade when they started. Like it's so they were so young. It's insane. The year that they were putting together their first album, Brendan graduated from high school. So he was 18, and then the other ones were, like, finishing school online
Barely
and shit.
Barely legal.
You can tell because you can tell they were killing it in high school, though.
Oh, yeah.
Some of their later songs, I read some interesting facts about that.
Another, yes.
Yeah.
About Girl, Girl, Boy.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, this dude was killing it at 16.
He was having 3 ways at 16.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm like, what
Damn.
The fuck? Yeah,
Brendan. He's on that theater kid shit, dude.
I know, but
those
like,
boys got fucking
a theater
laid.
Kid with that's in a band is way different than a regular theater.
That's
kid.
That's true.
Which
yeah.
is like, what I was in high school.
If you saw Lady Bird, that's also that's what that kid was.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Man, I loved that. I loved that kid in that movie.
He was great.
He was so good.
Well, he was such a dick for no
the
reason.
Scene where he started. Wait, he's the. I don't want to say. I don't know. We're not going to spoil anything. But the scene where he breaks down crying is like so fucking good. That's him, right?
No, that's Lucas Hedges.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other one. All right,
that was fucking
Lucas
good.
Hedges is fucking good. The other kid is good. But he didn't make me feel as much. But yeah. He was good at what he did, though.
That's him in another movie. No.
I fucked up. Yeah, my bad.
Did I tell you this story? I don't know if I told the story on the podcast, but when I went to see Lady Bird, the guy who works at the movie theater was like, "Ooh, Lady Bird, some eye candy in that movie."
Whoa.
And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah, that Timothée Chalamet." I was like, "All right."
That's so funny. That I was racking my brain there. Like, who could that be?
Laurie Metcalf. Yeah, she's hot.
Laurie Metcalf can Aunt get Jackie. In that movie. Damn. She's also a scene with
she
the
is hot, though.
Crying thing where it's like, oh yeah. So fucking good.
Great movie.
The movie's just great overall. Well, but Timothée Chalamet had the, I guess, can we spoil Lady Bird?
I don't think we should.
It just won awards, so people are going to watch it.
You should watch it. Yeah, so we, but yeah. Just,
but he is in a band.
But there's a line also that he says where I'm like, you're such an asshole.
Is it the
this
bed
is such
scene?
A great. It's the after scene.
Yeah, that's in the room. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I never.
I
said
know what
that.
You're talking about. It's so good.
Yeah, it's like you, Dick, but great.
He's
writing.
An asshole. But he played. That's what it should. That's who that guy would be.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know
this
that's
has been
real.
Lady Bird, dog. Pew pew. Yeah. Lady Bird chatting.
Such a good movie.
Lady Bird watch.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
So here's the takeaways. I enjoy Lady Bird. I like Panic at the Disco. I hate the Beatles.
Like Molly's game in Entourage.
Yeah, love Entourage. It's like, I don't know, are you a douche or like a douche?
Let's go to Facebook where we had some people torn on this band.
Like Natalie and
Like
Brugler.
Natalie, of course. people
you say
seem,
Natalie and Brulia?
Yeah, she's torn.
Oh, yeah, right. I was like, are you guys friends with Natalie and Brulia?
Oh, you don't know Natalie?
Oh man.
Let's see here. I posted too much. Damn it! I posted too much on Facebook today, and it's getting in the way of my shit. All right, here we
go. Algorithm.
Yeah, that algorithm shit. So Mike Carrazza, of course, loves this band. He said, "We were in the car when we were talking about doing this." Yeah. He said, I don't, and thank you for asking in thread. He said, I don't hate. If you're new to the podcast, I always post, do you hate blank band? This time, of course, Panic at the Disco, and why on Facebook. We got people saying, you're going to ask this question. Oh, I just got this Kevin Lovkovich one. He said, you're going to ask this question at 9 in the afternoon.
Nice.
Eastern time. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? I didn't get that until just now.
That's a great quote.
Kevin, I apologize. I thought you were a dumbass.
You looked at him like, are you okay?
Let's see. Heather Maruli says, ugh, they remind me of some of the dumbest things I did in my youth. The first album was okay, but it's just trash now. Damn.
I think I got into them old, which is a rarity.
I think you're right. That's this kind of defies what a lot of people on this podcast do, and Jared's theory. I like that. We should make a film called
We've Got
Jared's
Molly's Game.
Theory.
Jared's,
Jared's theory that everyone just comes on this podcast because of the nostalgic factor of like I was into this when I was 14.
Yeah. Mine, it's like, I was like 25.
I love this. Yeah. I love this.
That it was is 25 great. When Pretty Odd came out, and it was great.
Jared was like, what he's saying is true about me, where I really liked that first album because it was like, those were the Fall Out Boy, Take This to Your Grave, and Phoebe Can't Sweat Out.
That's
like,
how I feel
there were
about
two sides of the same coin for me.
Absolutely. So I feel that way about a lot of the bands on the. I mean, that's just the truth about music for a lot of people. But you can get into things later, too, and I don't think that we're acknowledging that. And this is, you know, this is fun.
That was like the start of noticing kids were better at stuff than me. Because like, I think I saw one of Fall Out Boy's early shows.
Yeah.
Because they were
just
young kids in Chicago, and I think they played like the Metro.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that one kid's got a cool voice.
Yeah.
And that's all I thought. Like,
yeah.
And then from then on, I was like, oh, kids are just better.
Dude, that happened to me with, who's that band out of Chicago? I have their shirt. It's, they played Letterman and spit all over the stage and shit.
That's funny.
They're so good. I cannot remember anything from them now. Damn it. I'm going to think of it later. It's going to piss me off. Fuck.
Was it the ones who sang All That Jazz?
No, that's not them.
That's a Chicago
musician.
That was the year also. Yeah, never mind.
Oh, the Orwells. The Orwells.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
This kid was like 19 and like killing it on stage.
Yeah.
And like girls were like throwing their underwear at him. And I was like, man. That kid is killing it. I suck.
That was around like the same 25. time, Kids These Days was a band.
Yeah.
That was like Vic Mensa.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
And Chance would always play with them, too.
Chance
and
is another
pop
one.
In, and I would go see them because I used to work with Vic, so he like invited me
That's
to
crazy.
The shows. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, I'll come see this kid. And I was like, oh, he's so much cooler and better than me. This is fucked up.
That is fun. I remember when I got into Chance being like, God damn it. He's like 20 or something like that. Man.
He was 15. That was back when I used to.
That's crazy. Yeah, back when I used to chill at 79, I just see Chance around.
And it was weird, too, because it was like their first show was like not all the way packed. And then I started seeing Kids These Days packed. And then I saw Chance's show packed. I'm like, starting comedy too, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Yeah. Like, these kids are great. I have to really get down to career stuff.
Let's see. To me, this criticism is pretty odd. Fuck you.
It's pretty good though.
No offense. Let's see. Somebody, Carl Dodd, said their latest album is a great return to form. In my opinion, it's almost as good as their first album. And people are arguing about
that.
I'm gonna
have a hard disagree on that.
Damn.
Well, it can't be a return to form because it's their childhood friends making albums, and it's only one of them for the last album.
It's really weird. That's Brendan. One thing I noticed about this band that was very odd. Where
pretty odd.
That's good.
Where Brendan seems to be kind of a divisive man. Like,
he must be.
There's got to be a thing here where if everybody else leaves and he's the one constant, it's like, what's that about? You know, these people are leaving because
the
of creative differences. Yeah. He did something that I mean, this is one of those things where it could go either way. It could be because the bassist was a douche. But I think it was before the first album, maybe before the second album.
I think before the second. Not Spencer Smith,
because he was part of it. I was reading about this earlier. I'm going to find it right here before we go any further because I feel like a dumbass. It was Brendan Urie. Here it is. Wilson. What is Wilson's first name? I just read this shit. Brent Wilson. That's it. So he was a bassist, and he invited Brendan to be the guitarist, and then he was singing backup vocals, and then they were like, you have clearly the best voice in this band. You're the lead now.
Yeah.
And then there was a bunch of controversy with Wilson where they kicked him out of the band. I'm assuming it has to be between albums here because it doesn't make any sense that it would be before, right?
I think between the first and
second. In May 2006, right? Here we go. Disco announced that original bassist Brent Wilson had left the band, and then they posted like a weird statement about it that everybody was concerned about. And then in June, Wilson said that he was kicked out of the band via a phone call. It was like a conference call, and the only person who would talk was Spencer. And Brendan and Ryan Ross were just like silent on the phone listening to them do it. And then he like tried, I think he tried to sue the band. He was demanding a cut in the royalties, but I guess that, it was the first album that he didn't play any bass on. Like, he didn't write anything or play, and Brendan went back and recorded all the tracks with him playing bass.
What?
Yeah, so whenever somebody does some shit like that, I'm like, he's like a fucking psycho.
Yeah, that's sociopathic.
Yeah, I mean, that's like some LCD sound system
shit.
That's
what Paul McCartney used to do. He would re-record Ringo's drum parts.
Is that
Wait,
right?
What?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't know that. We hate the Beatles on
yeah,
the
show. Yeah, exactly. Fuck them.
I'm pretty sure.
That's crazy.
Maybe not all of them, but I think that's a thing.
Damn. Why? Because he just didn't like the way it sounded?
Because he's more talented.
There's another band we did that
McCartney
did that.
Is
Can
the,
I remember who it was?
McCartney and Lennon are the Beatles, right? There's... Like, yeah, George was cool, and and Ringo was cool, but it's just the two guys.
That's, you're going to stir up a lot of controversy saying some shit like that on this show.
Harrison wrote my favorite Beatles song.
George Harrison wrote
it? Yeah.
Which one?
Something.
That's a great song.
I don't know.
And,
that's
Elvis
top five for me,
Presley
too.
Famously said he thinks it's the best song that McCartney and Lennon ever wrote.
Whoa.
But George Harrison wrote it.
Wow. Proving Elvis was a fucking idiot.
Elvis seemed...
That's what we're here to say.
Elvis Presley seemed like a good guy.
Yeah, right? I'm sure.
Panic good, Elvis bad.
It's actually Elvis's birthday today. Did you guys know that?
Damn, I didn't.
Yeah, it's my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. It's his
months
later, but...
Mom, ha-ha.
Yeah. But her birthday is the same day as Elvis and R. Kelly.
Wow.
Which is troubling... Second name.
Yeah. Wow. But I mean, Elvis Chicago, seems like so he was until... for sure a piece of shit, though.
Yeah, I would believe
I've
it.
Definitely heard stories about him being a huge asshole.
I have
And too. There's a clip they play on Todd Glass's show all the time that's really funny and disturbing, where Elvis is lashing out during a show about people who've criticized him for using drugs.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he's like, I've never done drugs. And if I find the guy who wrote that, I'm going to... He's like saying he's like going to beat the shit out of them, murder their family and shit like that. He's like crazy.
But, he was probably on drugs at the time.
He was definitely on drugs.
Anybody like, who lashes out that hard.
What happened was he like got ill during... Everybody says they were ill during a show when they're fucked up. And
now they say exhausted.
Or, yeah, that's it. Yeah. He said he got ill during a show and he was like throwing up. And he's like some waiter or something said... these waiters are always saying shit. Apparently, he saw some bridesmaids. He's telling people Elvis is fucked up on drugs. And yeah, he's
and then
like,
you chimed in.
Rip his tongue out of his mouth. Like, shit like that. He's crazy.
Damn.
But R. Kelly seems like a great man.
I know, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Got that we should.
So the stance is.
Before we get at Panic at the Disco is the only band we've ever covered where the singer has had malaria.
Malaria.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah.
And there's a lie?
Did you research other bands?
I've researched every band we've talked about.
Yeah, yeah.
40 bands, damn.
40 bands, first malaria.
He had malaria?
He had malaria.
Did they, like, tour in Africa or something?
He stopped a tour, or he didn't go.
So we listened to this interview where the guy, it was some guy in Salt Lake City, he's like, yeah, you guys were supposed to come last year, but apparently you had malaria. And he says it, like, kind of flippantly, but it's like, yeah. But I looked up, you really did have malaria.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I had a friend die from that. That's pretty serious,
right? Yeah. Shit. Yeah, I mean, malaria is
I don't think
good.
You could just come back from that.
No, yeah. That is a fever. You cannot sweat out.
Damn.
Jesus.
But also, have you seen on the subway, Brendan, the pictures of Brendan Urie?
For Kinky Boots?
Because Kinky Boots.
It's so weird. It's so
weird. It is
weird.
Odd.
The first time I saw that, I was like, that's so... No, that kind of makes sense. It's like, yeah, he's got a pretty Broadway voice. I could see this.
He's got a flair for the theatrical.
Absolutely. I chime in. That's how Kinky Boots starts now. Back to the place.
Back to the boots.
We should go see that.
I would love
Let's
to see
the three of
boots.
Us go.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Girls trip.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Go Panic.
Girls love. let's see. Rick Copper says, Panic at the Disco is fine. Generally, everyone is on coke or ecstasy and just fly around in a daze. Terror at the Square Dance is way worse since everyone is drunk as hell on cheap-ass beer and start making the dance floor slick with vomit. Yeah, that sucks.
That's a bit.
Sorry,
That's
Rick.
A bit.
Sorry, Rick.
No bits.
No time for bits. There's no time for bits.
I had to look around like,
show.
Wait, Terror at the Square Dance? Is that a real thing? No
That's
way, right?
No
All right,
good.
Cool.
No good. Keep your bits off at your fucking open mic, Rick. I apologize, Rick. Thanks for listening.
Sorry, Rick.
Wayne Mimmitt says he hates them because I really liked the Widespread Panic, and the short name for the band is just Panic. When I tell people who don't know that, I'm just going to see Panic. Yeah, that's a bit confusing, but that's not on them.
I'm going to upset a lot of people. Widespread Panic is just another fish, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, cool. For sure. Yeah. Somebody was going to...
Which is just another Grateful Dead,
right? We haven't done Widespread Panic, right? People have pitched it.
No,
though.
Gilbert's
going to do it. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Gilbert's going to do
and
that.
And Just Another Fish was the alternate title for The Shape of Water, as everybody knows.
Let's see.
People love those guys. Everybody like that. I'm like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mind-blowing.
I've never gotten into it, yeah.
As somebody who grew up black,
weird.
It's mind-blowing. I'm like, I heard a couple tracks outside of... Maybe because I was... Such an adult. I didn't hear a fish until I was like 30, maybe.
But it is interesting because you smoke a lot of weed.
Yes.
So you'd kind of think.
I know.
You would be
that's how I found out about who they were, because I was smoking weed with a bunch of people. And they were like playing some long ass song. I was like, what is this shit?
You're going to love this jam, man.
It's like, you got to turn this off. What is it? Like, it's fish, man. We love fish. And then everybody chimed in about how many shows they've been at. I was like, okay, what's going on? How is this culture around that I've never heard of, and you guys all smoke bongs that are cool as hell?
Damn.
It's funny that we, all three of us, keep using the words from the Panic of the Disco song titles more than we would use them in regular.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
just said chimed in. You keep saying odd. Like, this is not how we talk normally.
Odd.
You said odd like three times.
I know. It's weird. I also
weird.
Keep...
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. I also keep saying that calling threesomes girl boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see here.
That
yeah,
is a
I
great
feel like
song
with,
too,
with
I don't know about
Fish.
That.
Oh, we'll get to it. With Fish, everybody's always like, you got to see him live, and that's the, whenever somebody says that, it turns me off immediately.
Me too.
Because I don't necessarily love seeing live music as much as
oh really
I like. I mean, there are time. There's a time and a place for
yeah,
live music.
Yeah,
and in my opinion, it's at a concert
after marriage.
Yeah. Yes,
on your wedding night, you can go to a concert. That's
I love
about
that.
It.
Small concerts are great.
Yeah,
best thing in the world. Small concerts.
Yeah,
best
I agree. Yes. I totally agree.
Big concerts yes. are a hassle.
Because the minute you see somebody in a big concert. It's nowhere near as good.
It's not
too late.
It's too, the sound is all distorted usually.
Yes.
I saw Youth Lagoon at Rough Trade,
yeah.
and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen
because
it was only like 70 people
yeah.
there. I loved that. And but yeah, I saw Coldplay in a large space.
Yeah.
I fucking hated it.
I saw Nerd. I've seen Nerd in both and The Roots in both.
Yeah.
By far the better shows were the smaller shows.
Of course. I mean, that's just how it is for everything. Like comedy, I feel the same way. Like
a theater, I played the Skirball Center is pretty huge.
Oh, you did the Skirball Center?
And that was opening for Hannibal.
Holy shit.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. But then, I don't know, something about the smaller venues, you feel more of a connection to the crowd. So
absolutely.
Like, this is so much fun.
You can be a little looser. I feel like you kind of got to be real tight when you're doing a big venue.
Yeah, it was
show.
Just, I didn't really riff at all. I just kind of did my bits.
Yeah, because you can't really connect with people that way. Like, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
And that's how it is to watch a show, too. You don't feel connected in that way.
Yeah.
So you're just watching people do the most main, the thing that they think will hit the most people at once. And so, I saw.
It was pretty cool, though.
No,
the wave of applause was amazing.
No,
it
sucks.
This is cool as shit.
I'd rather do Pine Box.
Yes.
I saw you at a music. Remember?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
What was that
and,
called?
With the Front Bottoms.
With the Front Bottoms.
Who were also on Fueled by Ramen.
Yeah, to brought up the Front Bottoms.
Yeah,
that was awesome. And who else was there? Diet Sig.
Diet Sig. That
Level Up, who I love. It was all these bands I like, so I hit you up. And I was like, go to this concert?
Literally none of my friends other than you want to go, so this is great.
It was awesome, yeah. It's a win-win. It's like, and I just went, I saw Jeff Rosenstock at Music Hall of Williamsburg, and Chris Gethard brought him up.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I keep seeing comedians I like with bands I like. It's bizarre.
Oh, shit.
How was it? That seemed like it was awesome. Yeah,
so
of course.
Great.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah,
I got into a bunch of bands at that show.
That
was so much fun.
Yeah.
I had heard Screaming Females.
Screaming Females
nice.
Are awesome.
Yeah, they're
and,
great.
So good.
And Front Bottoms before, but in that venue, you got to see all of them live.
Yeah.
That's one where I'm like, Screaming Females, you have to see live.
Yeah,
because that that voice is fucking incredible.
I might have seen them.
Incredible. And Front Bottoms were great, too. I mean, they're the reason I did the show.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Really quickly, hot off the presses, we just got a Facebook comment that I really liked from Meredith Catchell.
Ooh.
Chicago's own. She said, I just can't imagine being a kid and having that kind of music in my head that I needed to show the world, which leads me to believe it's music only made for thin men to have sex with women with two-toned hair.
Well, she got one part right. All right. In my 20s, I was definitely having sex with women with two-toned hair. Not thin. Not at all thin.
Hell yeah. Will was into those Eternal Sunshine girls.
Damn. I truly was.
Oh, I
hate
it. That's my favorite movie of all time.
Are you up?
Me
and Montauk.
What are you doing on this train? Did you punch me in the arm? I just had to. You never know what life's going to bring. Truly my favorite movie.
That's
of all
my
time.
Favorite movie too.
Yeah, really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was a first date thing, I believe.
Oh,
damn.
Julie that's asked, God, that's
what
like
my favorite movie was. I was like Eternal Sunshine.
Nice.
That's crazy.
It's
no, I had
movie.
I had a sick poster of it that I hung on this wall here, and it fucking crashed down. I'm so bummed. It
was a cool poster.
It's so good. I had one of those the types of art that people make for a movie where it doesn't say the title anywhere.
Yeah.
It was a heart with a rope connected to the brain. It was so sick.
That's awesome.
But I miss it.
That's one of those movies
movie so much.
Like Panic at the Disco. Where your mind's blown when you hear them.
That is the first time
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can stand for that.
Weird.
Let's compare an incredibly experimental great movie with Panic at the Disco.
It is weird that there's an exclamation point after Eternal.
I know, yeah. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. Panic at the Disco.
I looked
it
up.
It is a horrible name. We have to say Panic at some point. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the name proves that they were Mormon teenagers who had never been to a party.
Yeah.
When people go to the disco, they must panic. I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's a. We found
it's
out.
It's based off a Smith song.
Yeah. So they definitely suck.
Hang the messenger.
That's a pretty good.
Wow, that was good.
That's a good Smiths guy. His name Morrissey, know. Right?
Smiths guy. The Smiths guy. I love the lead singer of the Smiths. Smith guy.
Hey, this guy. What did he just do? People were mad at Morrissey.
He said something about women, I think. Something like they shouldn't have gotten. It's like witch hunty. He said something witch hunty.
Oh, that's always trouble.
Cool. A guy saying that must be welcomed.
Yeah. It's funny to think that he loves like Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
Leave Harvey alone. Never harm. Let me say what I want. Save the blessed Weinstein. This witch hunted man.
Another weird fact, I didn't know who the Smiths were until 500 Days of Summer.
Damn. Oh, shit. Wow. That movie gets shit all over.
Oh, I know.
I loved it.
I love that movie,
another
too.
Another punctuation.
Parentheses for no reason.
Oh, yeah. That part sucks. any parentheses? Get them out of here.
Just call it 500 Days of Summer.
I love that movie, but it is so lame that they end it with him meeting a girl named Autumn.
Oh, I know. That is
Spoiler alert.
Like, that is like this burn down the theater level cringeworthy. Like, I know.
How could you?
But I think when I first saw it in theaters, I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're clever girl.
Clever girl.
The end of Lady Bird, she meets Lady Eagle. It's like, oh my God.
Wait, this is genius. Man Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
She ain't no damn lesbian, Tommy. You want the Westboro Baptist Church to start?
All right, we will pay $5.
Yeah,
for every tweet.
Man Eagle. Man, male Falcon. I did. Okay, so for this podcast, we do a little research. Besides the old Facebook poll, I searched, is Brendan Urie a jerk? And it looks like most people seem to think he's not, but also they're making some excuses for him.
Okay.
Because they'll be like, let's see. Please just answer this if you know. I don't. This is funny. The person who asked wrote, please just answer this if you know. I don't want to hear about how he's gay or how their band sucks. I just want my question answered.
That's someone who asked the wrong people first.
Yeah. This is on Yahoo.
Is he
answers.
A jerk? He's gay. Whoa.
Oh, good point. It is pretty selfish to take all that sweet D.
He's also gender fluid. I saw that.
Yes, I was reading about that. Yeah, he.
You know the Steve Whalen joke about gender fluid?
No, what is it?
Oh, no.
My date said she was gender fluid. She threw a drink in my face.
I think it was my main goal of this podcast to never bring up Steve Whalen jokes.
Well, I just started. I just didn't want to say this one comedian's jokes ever.
No offense, Steve. I know you're not listening, but
it's very buzzed about.
But there was no way I ever anticipated. That's where we take this thing. All right. So it sounds like people call him Spacey.
Spacey.
Some people. Yeah. They say he looks like. They say he gets distracted easily, which could come off as arrogant, but they think that he legitimately has, like, that he just gets distracted. And then in his Wikipedia, I found this quote that I thought was funny, where he said that he has ADHD and, oh, hold on, I gotta find the...
Who doesn't, right?
Quote.
How are we doing?
But he said he has ADHD, and he said it's like his goal to always be honest with his fans about his mental illness.
I saw that.
ADHD is not the illness that you're talking about with that. Like,
can you imagine if Gethard had a whole special about ADHD?
I like to be completely honest with my fans about my allergy to ibuprofen. No one gives a shit.
ADHD. It's like, yeah, we all have ADHD. Yeah.
You know that I have PTSD, right? Pretty tiny sized dick. Let's go.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
That's my old joke.
You know, I think the buzzer rang again.
Oh,
I just didn't hear it. That was all good. That's my car. I don't know.
Boy, that joke was pretty odd.
Pretty odd.
Should we do the
wait? What? So there's some. Is he a jerk? Or?
No, it sounds like he's the. All the fan accounts are saying that he's not a jerk, but they're fans, so they fans. Seem a little a biased to me.
Yeah, that is not like a good.
That's the difference between the adult fans. Also,
Ben Affleck lover thinks Ben Affleck's a pretty good guy.
I've heard some
bad stuff about him, right?
Oh yeah,
is this slander or something?
Yeah, okay, we all know the same Chicago comedian.
Yeah.
It's not slander if you do it in a Reagan.
Right. He like to slap an ass, all right?
How does he's unsorry?
Other Chicago comedian, wife and stuff. Yeah,
he slap an ass. That's is that Role Models or I Love You, Man? That's one of those movies. Slapping a bass.
I bet the guy said, "Really?" Without giving away who it was.
Wow.
Whose wife? Whose wife it was. Anyway.
Whose wife
this
is it anyway?
Definitely slander. Right? Yeah. Oh, nice.
Her points don't matter.
bad guy. Brother, probably a bad guy, too, based on everything I've read about him. Anyway.
Yeah, but boy, Manchester by the Sea.
So good,
yeah, so, so good.
We
He's so depressed.
Him. We forgive him on this show. No.
No, we do not. I'm not part of it.
I always in the podcast, yeah. Domestic violence is wrong.
There you go.
I don't even think that's what his thing was. No, it was the sexual harassment, which is also wrong. Okay, so I.
Well,
because
this took,
of,
this took a turn.
Thank you, Batman.
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
Man, what a lame line in that movie. He burns this weird guy. All right, so. This is from looking up Brendan or Panic at the Disco asshole. I got
Panic at the Disco asshole.
This one article is called it's just called Pat Me Asshole. So there you go. I don't know. It's just there's
Case
some
closed.
Story about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there it is.
There's some.
That's all we
this
needed
is
to know.
From a website that I just don't trust. It looks like it's fan fiction or something. I'm not gonna read it. It's too much. So it sounds like by most accounts he's not an asshole that's come out besides. The stuff with the bandmate calling him out for being a prick or
the
whatever.
The weirdest song fact I found is they were talking about Girl, Girl, Boy.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who did the research on this, but it said, like, of all the fan fiction about Panic at the Disco, only about 2% involves threesomes.
I saw that! That is so funny.
Running the numbers?
Who did this study?
That is so funny.
Girl, Girl, Boy had the best fan facts.
Yeah. I took screenshots of most of them.
Yeah.
Let's listen to that one.
Okay. Yeah. It would be funny if it was like PolitiFact doing this.
Have you seen the video also? The video is a clear ripoff of D'Angelo.
Oh, shit. It is?
But it is 100% a ripoff of D'Angelo.
It's just him like shirtless.
Just him,
like,
shirtless.
Nobody
cuts,
needs
cuts
that.
Cuts down to like the above
Is he
pubis.
Hot?
Oh, it does that? Ugh.
I mean, he's in good shape. Nobody looks as
but
good
he's
as
not
D'Angelo,
like D'Angelo
in that. Yeah, right. Yeah.
The thing is, D'Angelo can do that, and everybody's jerking off about it. But
when D'Angelo video came out, I think I was in high school, and I was like, well, come on, what am I competing with out here?
Dude, it hurts my feelings.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm never going to look like this. This dude was fat on the last album. Now he looks like this. Is this my
sucks,
fake? Like,
man.
Can I do this?
Man, every time I like to watch shit like that and be like, I got to go to the damn gym.
Yeah. He's all back right. to being like looking like me though, so I'm good.
Oh, really?
I
the last album was so good.
So good.
All right, so Girls, Girls, Boys. Here it is, folks.
I love this song.
If you like threesomes, if you're in the middle of a threesome while you're listening to this, crank it up.
This is probably the worst song to play during this.
Some would argue during anything.
Got him.
We'll be right back.
Such a great chorus.
That is a terrible song.
No, it's so good. I like it so much.
I will say, I don't like the beginning. I don't like a lot of parts of this song.
Yeah.
I don't mind the chorus, though. I'll give you the chorus.
I will say, his stance on all these subjects feels like he did not finish high school.
Yeah.
It's like, that's true, these are not like intelligently thought of
For sure.
Points about gender fluidity and stuff like that.
He definitely seems like a dumbass.
Yeah, he's like stupid as hell. He's
that
stupid.
Interview we listened to him with him, he sounds so stupid.
He says bro a lot.
Yeah. He's like a Las Vegas bro.
He just happens
to be a gender fluid, excellent voice singer who had threesomes when he was in high school.
Yeah, being gender fluid doesn't make you smart.
Yeah.
He talks for like 5 minutes about Vine in this interview.
Yes.
But he has like an emotional thing. He's like, yeah, like some of the people were big on Vine. It's like, what is this? And I was getting really discouraged. But then... Like, why are you discouraged? So my favorite song fact is from this song. I really don't know who does these, but it's, it just says, the person in the middle of a threesome is known as the Lucky Pierre. Which is such
Lucky
a
Pierre?
It's such a funny thing to put in the song facts.
So funny.
Like, this should just be on threesome facts.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
So then Leah.
Threesome facts.
Lucky Pierre?
I've never heard of that.
Isn't that a little heteronormative, by the way?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've watched enough videos to know lesbians can be three women as well.
Lesbians can be three women as well.
Threesomes can be three women as well. three women in a coat. That's what I mean.
Yeah. They call it.
Three women stacked on one another in a coat. A big trench coat.
Yeah, but they can't actually please each other. So.
Oh, no.
So the song, please do yourself a favor. Put this on your Spotify and just read all the song facts. We don't have time to read all of them, but my other favorite one, they just at one point start listing guys that Brendan Urie's attracted to.
I saw that.
And the last one is George Clooney, but only if he dresses like the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou character, the Dapper Dan man.
I get why, though. Because that's the kind of music they're into.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It's so funny that that's like a matter of public record.
I know.
He wants to bang this character.
That's so funny.
I like that song because, number one, I like threesomes.
I don't believe in them. I think they're all devil's threesomes.
Also, it's I've had a lot of women leave me for women. So it's like a thing where it's like girls do like girls and boys.
Yeah.
And sometimes they choose the girls over the boys. And then you're left crying in your bedroom in college. But it's all good, though.
You're the only person who's ever had an emotional reaction to that song.
That explains why this song is on. Okay, thank you.
I will say, the Blur song, Girls and Boys, does the same thing in a much better way. So check that out.
That's because they're smarter.
Wait,
everybody had left the band.
That song that's like, girls don't like boys, girls like cars and money. That's what I think is the best song about women.
Yeah, that's good. I'm proud to hear that.
We did that band, didn't we?
That was Blair.
They played that song
Blair
at the Golden Globes, right?
That's
Can you imagine?
Just like them pouring like ice buckets on women who are on stage. Like,
this is what you guys meant, right? No? Fuck. Damn it. We didn't read the room again. I'm so glad it was Seth Meyers hosting, by the way.
I
feel like any other comedian would have tried some shit that wouldn't have worked.
Yeah.
His monologue was funny.
He had some sweet burns.
He was awesome. Yeah.
He had some sweet old burns.
But everybody was, I imagine for sure everybody else would have been like, I'm going to get away with one joke.
Yeah.
It's like inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
And they would have been like, what the fuck? Like any, Chris Rock would have for sure tried a joke wouldn't have gone over well. But it would have been funny.
Oh, for sure.
But, yeah. It would have been funny. It wasn't good, though.
That was good. That was good. I'm looking up facts and stuff about them, but let's. There's one article I found that I liked that was shitting on them. That's a little more criticism. It says, coming in on the tail of the emo movement, Panic at the Disco appealed to a wider audience by looking like the Killers, but sounding enough like Fall Out Boy where parents or anyone with good taste would still be turned off, making the fan base almost exclusively teenage girls.
What the fuck?
Their 2005 debut. Their 2005 debut, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, was an instant classic and staple on nearly every teenager's iPod Nano, excluding their sophomore.
Way to relate.
Excluding their sophomore. By the way, iPod Nano sucked. I was never a Nano fan. Yeah, yeah, I didn't understand it. We already had the screen technology. Why go backwards?
Yeah,
it was so stupid. Even the ones that had the tiny screen, fuck off.
This is the worst thing to rant about.
Oh, fuck you, Tommy.
Ranting about the iPod Nano
yeah,
12
I'm
years later.
I'm going off. I'm coming out. All right, against the iPod Nano. Tommy is a piss free.
I had an iPod.
We almost made it a whole episode. Yeah.
Oh, I will let that happen.
I used to have the iPod that looked like the phone. Which one was that?
iPod Touch.
And I used to pretend it was a phone.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You
had a cell phone.
Put it up to your you're like, hello, Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. I think somebody's calling me. Are we under Wi-Fi?
Let's see. Excluding their sophomore release, Pretty Odd, a Panic at the Disco record that I'm not ashamed to admit I enjoy.
Of course.
The rest of their career was a continued downward spiral of lineup changes, dwindling album sales, and an industry shift where many of their pop emo brethren fell victim to similar fates. Despite releasing albums up until 2013, most of the world moved on rather quickly, leaving Panic at the Disco a fuzzy memory like the MySpace instant messenger. Yeah, I feel like, well, this is before the 2016.
Who wrote this?
This is some purple-ass prose.
Yeah. Somebody's grandfather clearly wrote this.
I think that was from Spin magazine.
Talking about falling victim to fates. Get the fuck out of here. It's like Game of Thrones.
Pretty Odd was great.
Panic of the North.
Yeah, right.
Fallout Boy of the East.
Every teen put in their iPod. I'm still offended by that line. Every teen probably put in their iPod Nano. Yeah.
I think there's something about when people like this try to be funny with little like references like that. It's annoying to me. Yeah.
Super annoying.
So that was, I mean, I think that's most of the hate that we're going to get into.
It
all covers the same shit. Besides being called like ripoffs or stuff like that, that we pretty much covered what they've done. I think that Meredith Catchell wins the. We should start naming the best criticism.
That was a good criticism.
What do we call the Critzy Award?
Yeah, this week's Critzy.
CAs.
Critzy's so gross. Yeah, we got to pay some.
Yeah, I like Critzy.
Critzy. All
right, we'll
Critzy.
This week's Critzy. We'll think about it. Maybe we'll. If you have something better, go fuck yourself.
Why don't you come up with a pie? Yeah. The Mento. The Golden. Mento.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The mint. Yeah. Mento. Yeah. All right.
You know what? Girls Love Boys and Girls. That is a ripoff Killers song. Now that I've heard that, I'm like, okay. But I love the Killers, so I'll take a ripoff.
Okay.
Previous episode.
Mike Cronin?
Right.
Yep.
Good taste.
Good man.
Good taste.
Yeah,
Killers were excellent.
Didn't get fucked. All right.
Oh,
all right. We only have three songs left.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Everlast would be good.
He's seen better days.
Yeah. The Uber driver was playing.
Oh, for real? We gotta have him in here. Get him back over here.
Like. I know. I'm like
that song is so fucking dramatic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Everlast,
it's like a baby
the video
dying.
Too.
I'm
like,
he was
what is
doing
going
drugs.
On? This guy made Jump Around.
Oh yeah, like,
that's
so crazy.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Man, his life took a downward turn. All right, let's. Those were the better days for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear that Green Gentleman.
Great fucking song.
Yeah.
How many special people change?
Yeah.
Saving up to be pretty odd. Little dusty musical bed. So it seems like someone I never met. You will only hear these elegant crimes. Pull on your ears for criminal time. They spill on foul from a pretty mouth.
That's a smooth fucking song. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Because he's the only one who could sing.
Alright.
It has to be the best song about Shrek.
It's actually about Fiona, weirdly. That's a good fucking song.
I enjoy that.
I really like it.
I actually think Weezer's whole green album about Shrek was was a bit more of a commitment. And that's a fun song. I hadn't heard that song before this playlist.
Okay, yeah. That was one of the singles on the Pretty Odd album.
Nine in the Afternoon was first, I think.
Yeah. And then That Green Gentleman.
Yeah, but yeah, I definitely
and that's
like
when I bought the
more.
Album.
Me
yeah.
too.
I'm leaning in on this Pretty Odd.
They take some big risks.
Theory,
yeah. And it starts the later song. We'll get into.
Frankly, this is my white album.
Really? They actually recorded. This is serious. They recorded all the horn parts on the album at Abbey Road Studios.
Is that right?
Are you
true.
Serious?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right.
They're great.
It's so funny when you have the money. Like any 17-year-old has that time when they get really into the Beatles, but they also had enough money and fame to be like, yeah, we're into the Beatles. Let's just go to Abbey Road.
Yeah. People do that with Electric Lady too, with Jimi Hendrix.
I'm looking up to.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear some Death of a Bachelor.
Yeah. This is the newest one. Controversial.
I like this more than I thought I would.
Yeah, right?
I came in wanting to hate it.
Yeah.
Shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same.
That's when they started fucking with hot beats.
Maybe I lost weight.
About time.
Yeah, right?
I'm playing hooky. The best of the best.
Robinson.
Put my heart on my chest so that you can see it too. I'm walking the long road, watching the sky fall. Dress tangles my neck. How do I live? The death of a bachelor. Oh, letting the water fall, 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 fall. Bachelor. Seems so fitting for happily ever after.
What a voice.
Broadway.
Yeah. Kinky Boots producers immediately got him on there. Hold on. Is that you singing Death of a Bachelor?
It's funny that, yeah, hearing that all the band members left and then you listen to that song, it's like, oh, it's clearly a drum machine and a sample. It's just he's like Citizen Kane. He's just all alone in his mansion now with his fucking machines.
Yeah. This is what Brendan had to say about the song. He says, speaking to Pete Wentz, who was hosting Zane Lowe's Beats One radio show.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you not a millennial?
Don't you have Apple Music, bro?
Are you not a neo-millennial? It says, Yuri half-jokingly said of the song, it's like if Sinatra and Beyonce made a song together.
No, it's not.
It's like some.
I wish he had never said that.
Yeah. It's like some Beyonce beats with some Sinatra vocals. Oh. It's really crazy.
So he
is that about himself?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
So he's still on mushrooms.
Yeah, he sucks.
I love people who love themselves, but
that was the worst quote ever.
I know.
Yeah. Well, there's more.
But
to
McConaughey
it.
Is great, and he said he loves himself in 10
who's,
years.
Yeah, who's your hero? Me in 10 years. Yeah.
Damn, that's a good quote.
That's my favorite quote.
That's really good.
If you ask Brendan Urie, it's like, who's your hero? It's like, I don't know. What if Frank Sinatra fucked Beyonce? I guess that kid. I don't know.
And then it would be me. So I guess me.
I don't know, bro. What's going on?
Damn.
His voice is cool, though.
He's got a good voice.
Still a great voice.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah.
Those little shifts. It's hard to do. I've tried in the shower.
Okay, oh, you did it.
Who can get
it.
That high? I didn't get as high as him. That was flat.
Hold on. Try it again. Oh, damn it. Fuck me. You're nailing it.
That high note? Yeah. Wait, I'm
you can't talk like that.
This was, from start to finish, the worst executed bit of all time.
I was going to edit that. I'm just going to leave it.
Leave it.
That's so funny. You talked over it.
Whoops. I mean,
you're like a ventriloquist. He's just clearly talking the whole time.
Wait, no, if you were a ventriloquist, it would have to be like pre-recorded because he's talking. Yeah. That would be really impressive if he was talking over the puppet.
I saw a ventriloquist thing when I was high the other day, and it was just a guy drinking beer, and he had the ventriloquist puppet on his hand, and the puppet was just throwing up the whole time.
Damn.
I don't know why it's so funny.
Really
no
funny.
Talent at all, really. But it's just.
That's really funny. Let's read more of the it's just more. Yeah, of
we got two songs
thing.
Left.
We got two. Do we have two?
Or one song
one.
Left.
We have one song.
One, yeah,
left.
This song.
Starving, right?
We're so starving.
I like this because it shows his cockiness as well.
Ooh.
And the band's overall cockiness. Because it had only been 3 years. But this entire song is about how people have been waiting for their next album.
Sorry we've been gone. We were busy writing songs for you.
Shut up. So
no.
Song fact. John Walker told VH1 about this track. We wrote it in Ryan's kitchen at his old house. We were all standing around. He had the line, "You don't have to worry because we're still the same band." We all sing on that one.
Yeah. It's also they're not the same band at all.
Yeah.
Such a like a pop punk teen idol
no,
band.
No, this yeah. sounds so different.
And then this is such a different album.
Yeah, I think if I had listened to this when it came out, I would have liked it.
Yeah.
Because I was so into Fall Out Boy that I felt like when I heard that first album, I was like, oh, they're just doing Fall Out Boy.
Yeah.
That's what it
yeah.
sounded like to me. And in retrospect, I still feel that way at times. Like the cleverness with the rhyme, the talk singing sometimes.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A lot of it reminds me of that. And his voice at times reminds me of Stumps, although now it doesn't sound anything like that to me anymore. But during that, it's got that same kind of whiny thing going on. But this, this is what I call music.
Oh, now.
I think it's so funny because they talk about, you know, how long they had writer's block and shit. But it seems like anytime any of them suggests anything, the rest of the band's like, oh, my God.
I think they literally were just silent.
It's every first idea. It's like a knockout.
I think for years they were just completely silent. And every time they would say anything, they're like, that goes
holy
in a song.
Yeah. They probably were just like, hey, guys, isn't it weird that Prince not here? And they're like, we're still the same band. Wait.
Prince not here.
Hold on. Boy, boys, girls. Wait, no. We're almost there. So should we go ahead and rate the playlist,
yeah.
or should we do the quiz first? I think we should maybe end with the
quiz. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to do our rating first.
Okay.
I think you went first last
okay.
time, probably. So I'm going to go ahead and give this bad boy. I didn't really love Girls, Girls, Boys, but I didn't mind the
it's a hot pop song.
I don't love Death of a Bachelor that much,
okay.
but it's not bad. There's,
okay.
I like those hot Beyonce beats, though.
The beat's great.
I'm going to go 4. I'm going to give this a 4 out of 6. Because I did enjoy... I really liked 9 in the Afternoon. I think it's hilarious. just thinking about it brings this grin
right.
from ear to ear upon my face.
They should have like their own Almost Famous based on this album. Recording.
But because of it is Tommy's year of generosity and he's going to bump his score, I have to take away 0.1. So I'm going to go 3.9 for this playlist. But
ooh.
I do enjoy it. I liked it. This is a great playlist. You did
Thank
a great
you.
Job. Those are my thoughts.
All right. I think, first of all, you changed the way I think about Panic at the Disco. Because in my head, I was always one of those people, yeah, the first album's good. But then I went back and I liked Pretty Out Better. So kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Girl, Girl, Boy is one of the worst songs I've ever heard. That being said, it's one of those songs that's a rarity for a reason.
Yeah.
And that song is terrible.
It does sound like it should be played in Hot Topic.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a good comment, Jared.
Jared's
yeah,
right on that.
It does
yeah.
sound like it exists solely in Hot Topic.
I might have heard it at a Hot Topic.
I think Death of a Bachelor, I was feeling the verse, hated the chorus, so I'm going to give it a 0.5. So I'm going to go 4.5. But
right.
because it is the year of generosity. generosity, I will donate $20 for every point I get.
Oh,
no, but
shit.
I would also, no, huge. 4.6.
All right.
All right.
Appreciate it.
What do you give it?
Yeah, what do you give
it? I give my playlist a 6 out of 6.
Hell yeah.
All right, good. Hell yeah. Who do I want to be?
Okay, so now this we just have the quiz.
This podcast in 10 years.
Oh, God, I hope we're not doing this in 10 years.
No, dude, we're going to be doing this till we die.
Oh,
what
no.
band would we talk about in 10 years?
That's the scary part of that.
Right now.
That idol
Fall
shit.
Fall Out Boy Part 12.
Fall Out Boy had that great song with Kanye West, by the way. That's it.
Wait, what's the Fall Out Boy Kanye song?
This ain't a scene. It's a goddamn arms race.
That was with Kanye West?
Yeah, he made the beat.
He made the beat?
Oh, shit, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, that's great.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You do pretty good stuff.
Good. All right. So we're going to end this thing. We have a little quiz here for you based on the band. This is Are You a Real?
It's based on the band.
This could have been simple.
Based on the buzzer.
If Tommy is driving 30 miles an hour to a bucket of piss.
The mom. What? It's the mom.
The doctor is a woman.
It'd be so funny to make a quiz where that's every answer. The mom's a doctor. But, oh, damn it. I'm just going to tell this joke because it's Jonas's. But he does that mom riddle. Or he does the... If it's the dad is in the hospital, who could it be? And everybody yells out the mom. And then he goes, no, it's his other gay dad. Gay dads can be doctors, too. So funny. So watch Jonas Schrote and his comedy. That's his joke. He probably didn't need me to do it. But all right. So this is
just
are you
out all the things you said. You got to watch the show. Watch Jonas.
Are you a real Panic at the Disco fan? Ooh. So it starts with, what is your age? And it gives us under 18, 18 to 24, 25 to 30, 31 to 40. I'm just going
to
answer for you. Yeah, yeah. What is your gender?
Male.
Male. All right. It only gives two options, which is
fucked up. There's 33.
Fucked up. What is your favorite song? And the answers are, I don't know.
What's your favorite song?
Oh, that's the one where he says the F word in it. The bad one.
Oh. Who, Brendan Urie says that?
No, no, I thought you were doing then Chant Song. Okay, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And college crowds go apeshit.
Damn.
I remember I talked to a few people about that. I was like,
it's the only time he says anything like that in that whole
album. I know.
It's weird.
Or in life, I feel like.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah.
But
and
I'm glad
to slap them at that.
Yeah, I know. But I'm glad he got it in there. I wasn't a fan until I heard that. Slap happy, F word slapper. All right, so what is your favorite song? The answers are I Don't Know, I Write Sins Not Tragedies, Northern Downpour, Everything, None, When the Day Meets the Night.
Why would those be the options? Of those, it's definitely not Northern Downpour.
Okay.
It's that's a pretty good song. But it's I Write Sins Not Tragedies out of that.
All right.
Yeah.
What did you do when you see... Yeah, it says, what did you do when you see they're touring in your area?
This was written by a Russian hacker. What did you do when you see they're touring?
Yeah, I think what I'm doing right now counts as collusion. It says, run out the door to buy tickets, tell your mom, beg your friends to buy you tickets, IDK, punch your computer, dance in circles.
Wow. I don't think any of those options.
Oh, shit.
I wouldn't even say IDK because I'm 35.
It's your mom's birthday. Tell your
mom.
Yeah,
all right. It's my mom's birthday. I'd tell my mom. All I'd right, give my mom a little credit there.
All right.
It was my dad's birthday yesterday.
Nice.
All right. When at a family reunion, you either tell people about it, why do I care, force everyone to listen to a song, who are they? This is the weirdest quiz we've ever done. I'm pretty psyched about it.
I can answer with all those options. Everybody I'll tell will be like, who are they? I forgot the other options.
It was tell people about it, why do I care, force everyone to listen to a song, or who are they? You definitely wouldn't say who are they.
I wouldn't say who are they because I'm a fan, but everybody else would, and they'd say they'd probably force me out of the family reunion. I would say I'd tell everyone to listen to it.
All right.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right. How often do you dream about them?
Okay. All right. All right.
Always, never, or sometimes.
Those are the three.
I'm going to go with never.
Oh,
I'm sure
shit.
I've had a
okay.
mushroom trip where I've been involved.
I have a feeling this is going to hurt you. Are you a real painting?
Let's
disco
put sometimes.
Fan score?
Sometimes no, 8 no. years ago when I was on shrooms, I'm sure they came up.
Here's oh, that's a good question. Do you like Fallout Boy?
I do.
Hell yeah, yeah. A little, or hell nah?
Hell yeah.
All right, all right. What's your favorite album? A Fever You Can't Sweat Out, Pretty Odd, huh? Voices, Vices and Virtues, Fuck This, I Love Them All.
These are all 16-year-old girl responses.
That's what I love about these quizzes.
Huh? Pretty Odd.
All right, all right. Were you sad when Ryan and John left? And the answers are, now that you reminded me, I'm crying. I see some tears. well, yeah, but I know they are moving on in life. Nope.
Couldn't care less about them.
All right, so I'm going to say nope.
Nope. Yeah.
But explain those tears. what about
when... something else I was thinking about.
What about when Brent Wilson left? I'm damn happy he's gone. Yeah, he seems like a good guy. No.
Yeah, he 50%. Seems like a good guy.
All right.
He seems like a good guy.
Who do you like more? Brendan or Yuri? Spencer Smith? Both? Neither. Shut up.
I mean, I like the idea of shut up as a response. But Brendan Yuri, I like more. All right.
Man, I was tempted to just put.
Shut up.
How many are left?
Just one.
Okay.
Do you.
A lot
40.
Of questions. 40
do questions. You, it's 12 questions. Do you stalk the members? That's dumb. Hell yeah. I'm doing it now. Shh. Well, yeah. Oh, I did once.
Wait, that's, when did those break
yeah.
up?
That's dumb. I'm like, well, only, that's dumb is the only no.
Yeah, yeah. What was the shh one?
It was. I'm doing it now. Shh.
I'm doing it now. Shh. I like that one. That's funny.
Okay.
But no. I guess I'll be on record to say I'm doing it now. Shh.
All right.
I mean, we
right.
kind of are. I've been. Right, stalking them
that's
all day.
True. All right, let's see what you got. Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Will. You are 57% a real fan.
That's great.
It says, you're getting warmer. A few more and you will practically be cured. Keep going and you will be a real fan. So
again, Russian hacker for sure. Keep going, you'll be cured.
Getting warmer.
I am panic.
Are you like band with panic in name?
Yes.
Silly Americans panic only at disco.
In Soviet Russia, we are panic. all right. So that was the podcast. This has been a great time.
This
thanks
really
so
fun.
Much for
thank
coming
you guys.
On, man.
Thank you. Hell yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to promote?
Oh,
check out Will's album.
Yeah.
Super funny.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Album Good Year. I'll be in Denver,
ooh.
Colorado.
Oh.
Hell yeah.
For a Sex Pot Comedy Presents.
Nice.
At some theater.
Do you know, is it the Syntax? Syntax?
Yes.
That's a great fucking show.
Nice.
Great that's time. And I have them give you a shirt. It's one of my favorite shirts now.
The Sex Pot shirt?
It's no. The Syntax opera shirt. It's they have shirts for their drinks, and I kept ordering their version of an old fashioned called
it's
a corn punk.
Oh, corn punk?
The shirt is sick. So they'll give it. The bar is so cool. They give you free dinner. It's so cool.
223.
Anyway, hell yeah! Check Will out there. That's gonna be a great show.
And listen to the podcast. Hopefully we don't break up. Julia Rossi, and check out Knitting Factory every Sunday in Brooklyn.
Nice. Me and Tommy, I don't know if this will be out.
I think
it'll be out too late.
Will
so
it?
Yeah, because this is 3 weeks from now. This Wednesday, let's see here. Yeah, I'm going to look at this date just to make sure.
I think it'll be the
next. Oh, the
24th. It'll be the day before.
So,
yeah.
So
tomorrow, come to our show.
Nice. Come to our show at Caroline's on Broadway. It's January 25th.
Featuring Tim Dillon.
Is he confirmed?
Who may be doing an hour because he's the only person we have.
Oh, shit. I didn't know we had him booked.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Tim's right. Big night.
You got him doing an hour. It's going to be controversial.
Hell yeah. We're going to have to replace the microphone.
Yeah. We're going to have him do an hour, but he's going to be over a dunk tank. If he says anything, not woke.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that'd be a fun show.
That is a fun show.
That would, no one would ever agree to do.
Yeah, I would. I'd be like, I'm going to fuck up and say some shit on purpose.
Hell yeah. We book Chappelle immediately. All right. Check that out. Check out Tommy's website. And check out our Patreon, patreon.com/standbyyourband for bonus episodes and a girls night episode also. Thanks for listening, guys. Domestic violence is wrong. Oh, yeah. We say keep it crispy at the end.
Keep it crispy.
One, two, three. Oh, yeah. There we go. You heard it. Keep it crispy. Bye.